is coming. Between light and darkness. Will you bow down to the darkness? Or will you fight?
Now, getting back to school, I remember a teacher that I had. Now, I went through the seventh grade. I went to the seventh grade. I left home when I was 10 years old because I was hungry. I work in the summer, I go to school in the winter. But I had this one teacher. He was the principal of the Harrison School in Vincennes, Indiana. To me, this was the greatest teacher, a real sage of my time, anyhow. He had such wisdom. And we were all reciting the Pledge of Allegiance one day. And he walked over, this little old teacher. Mr. Laswell was his name. Mr. Laswell. And he says, I've been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester. And it seems as though it's becoming monotonous to you. If I may I recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word? I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity, allegiance, my love and my devotion, to the flag, our standard, O glory, a symbol of freedom, wherever she waves, there's respect, because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. United. That means that we have all come together. States. Individual communities that have united into 48 great states. 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose. All divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose. And that's love for country. And to the Republic. Republic. A state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people. And it's from the people to the leaders. Not from the leaders to the people. For which it stands. One nation, meaning so blessed by God, indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right of power to live one's own life without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation. And justice, the principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others. For all. Which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance, under God. Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that is a prayer and that would be eliminated from schools too?
Madam President, we will never surrender America's sovereignty to an unelected, unaccountable global bureaucracy. America is governed by Americans.
Welcome to the Shooting Bench. For the next hour, I'll be bringing you commentary and important updates on current events, as well as information on guns, training, preparedness, and other liberty-related issues. Let's get started. RAT, right now. All right, well, it's that time again. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It is the 19th of June, and it's a Wednesday. We've got a few gun-related things and some other... Wait a minute, we may have breaking news here. We'll talk about that later. All right, let's run over here to the chat room and see if we're getting any noise. There, Tebow, thank you. And thank you for all of you that is showing up there. Right now, the chat room is pretty slim, but we'll check it out there a little later. By the way, that brings me to another point. There's probably going to be some earth-shattering news coming up here probably next week, and you're probably not going to like it. But we'll see. I'll think about it. All right, let's... move on here and see what we got going. I've got a kind of a resume thing in to a outfit that was looking for a someone that wants their writings published, has to do with guns and whatnot. And I don't really care one way or the other. It might be kind of fun, so I sent in a little pat me on the back deal to them. We'll see what comes out of it. It might be kind of fun, though. All right. Speaking of kind of fun, I'll tell you what's fun is rimfire revolvers. It's one of those things, a rimfire handgun of some kind, a 22 or 22 Magnum or both, it's got to be one of your must-haves in your arsenal there. A lot of reasons for that is signaling, small game, practice, defense in some cases. I mean, there and the economy of shooting a 22, the lack of recoil, the relative lack of noise, and the compactness of the, you know, the number of shells that you can carry or that you can have, you know, stored. And even though they've gone up freaking dramatically from what they were just a very few years ago, they're still a bargain compared to your centerfire stuff. So if you look at putting back, I mean, it was not very long ago that we were buying 22 shells for $8.99, $9.99, $10 for 500 rounds, 550 rounds in the case of, who was it, Federal? It was either Federal or, I think it was the Remington Golden Bullets, I think that you get 550 rounds for about $10. Well, those days are gone, and whether or not they'll ever come back, nobody knows, but I'm seriously doubting it. But they have gone down a little bit. They were, for a while, I've got a picture of some that were a 500-round carton that was $129. And that was back in, when was it, probably 2012, I believe, when I got that picture, and when we were in Pine Top. And I was totally floored, flabbergasted, speechless. Still am. When it comes to that, I couldn't believe it. I had plenty put away, so I wasn't too concerned about it. But it's still kind of aggravating to even see that. So time has gone on. The panic has slowed down. We were our own worst enemy. It wasn't the government. It wasn't the ammunition companies. It was us. It was us because we were going out and buying, you know, 5,000 rounds instead of two boxes, you know, for the grandkids to come over and shoot for the weekend when we were putting it away by the gazillions. And we have nobody to blame but ourselves for that shortage and the price increase. But be that as it may, we've probably all got plenty of 22 shells. Sturm Ruger has come out with a new gun, and I'm liking it a lot. It's a revolver that is very much like the single six, but it's aluminum frame. It's the first aluminum frame revolver that I'm aware of that Ruger's ever put out. It's called the Wrangler. And it's got a steel cylinder, or steel sleeves in the cylinder at least, steel barrel, but the frame is aircraft aluminum. Now, you know, a few years ago, people would not even have dreamed of doing that. But now we're seeing, you know, AR-15 receivers made out of plastic. You know, the Glocks are completely, Glocks and numerous other semi-automatic handguns now are completely polymer of some fashion. And then they have the, what is it, this, what do they call it, what did Ruger call their little, they had the LCP, yeah, and then the LCR. The LCR come out with a fiberglass or, you know, plastic frame of some kind. I've never shot one, never even held one. Didn't want to buy them, didn't care anything about them. But for a rimfire, and this thing shoots very well. I saw there's a gal from guns.com did a little video on it. She sat down on sandbags at 25 yards and shot about an inch and a half at 25 yards with it. That's impressive. Non-adjustable sights. I think it's got drift adjustable sights on the rear. And she said it was a very crisp 4-pound trigger. I kind of doubt that, but we'll see. That's one thing that Ruger's always had a problem with, is their damn triggers. Terrible problem with almost every gun that they made. But whatever, the trigger can be worked on, and that's irrelevant. But she shot very well. She only tried one kind of ammo. It was a Gila something or another. So that was I don't know if she already knew that that was the best that she had, or if she just picked some of that up and that's what she did in the video. But if that's what it does with that, then I'm pretty confident it would do at least that with other higher quality ammo. So, you know, the best thing about it, though, listen to this. This damn little revolver is $249. Now, that's... Now, so far, I didn't see anything about them having interchangeable cylinders for a 22 Magnum yet. They might at some point. I don't know if the aluminum frame is built to stand the extra stress of the Magnum or not. It's not a lot, but anyway. It says that some of the... $249 is the manufacturer's suggested retail price, the MSRP, as they say. But the real world prices, they say online, with so many places, may go down as low as $179. So there you have it. If you are looking for a good little practice handgun, a little handgun that's accurate enough to put a little meat on the table, something to carry with you for snakes when you're big game hunting or whatever the case, something to train the kids or the wife up on or whatever the case may be. $179 expected to be not too hard to find online. But even at $249, your Ruger Single Six is $600-$700, depending on whether you're getting blued steel or stainless. You can get a stainless, it's going to cost you over $700 for a .22 revolver. Now, admittedly, you get a lifetime revolver. You will never, ever have to buy another revolver unless you just want to. because the Ruger makes the most hell for stout revolvers in the whole world ever. And they will last. They will last, outlast your grandkids. You may replace a few little parts inside, you know, some springs and stuff here and there. But overall, that receiver and that barrel is going to last you forever and ever. Amen. At the present time, this gun's only available in a 4.62 inch barrel, a little over 4.5 inch barrel. And so that's a very handy, it's got the transfer bar safety and everything, just like the regular ones. But that's a very handy length. That's, doesn't get in the way and get hung up on anything. And if you're using it in a brush or a confined environment of some kind, it's going to work for you. So I'm real excited to see these come out. I may see if I can scrape up $179 here somewhere and put one of those in the corral with the rest of them. There's Nan made it a little bit late. Not too bad. You just missed a great review on something I haven't reviewed yet. But this little gun's going to come in black, silver, and burnt bronze. That burnt bronze is really attractive little gun. That's the one that she was testing. Looks good. They said each of them wears the same as the blue. They all wear the same blue unfluted steel cylinder. And I'm real anxious for them to come out with the Magnum version of this. I don't know if they will or not, but, man, I'd like to see that for that kind of money. Of course, it'll probably add, somewhere between $25 and $40 to the price of it. But, hell, that's a way good deal. I'm just going through I watched the video, but I haven't read the article, so I was going to see if there's any mention here, if I can scan over this real quick, see if there's any mention of the 22 Magnum version of it. You know, some of you may have heard of the Heritage Rough Riders. The Heritage were very much entry-level guns. They were okay. They're not junk. They're just not great. So if they, good girl, Dan. She was listening on TuneIn before she ever got there. Good deal. We used to sell a lot of the Rough Riders, and they shoot pretty well. I mean, they're not award-winning guns by any means, but they're okay. Never had a problem with them. Never had any brought back or broke or anything. So this Ruger is going to be kind of competing for the same space there in this right around $200 price range. So still, I'm looking here over this real quickly to see if this aluminum frame is also Cerakoted. That's where the color comes from. It's not painted or plated or anything like that. It's Cerakote. Cerakote holds up really well. It holds up better than Duracoat, and Duracoat does a pretty good job. And Cerakote's even better than that. So, let's see. She put over 500 rounds through her with her new little gun. And, oh, by the way, the grips are interchangeable with the conventional single six. So if you want to put on a set of Packmeyer grips or Hogue grips or something like that, or just, it's got plastic grips on it now. If you want to put wood on it and make it a little more attractive, a little more traditional, the single six grips will fit right on there. This thing weighs about 30 ounces unloaded, pretty lightweight. And I'm still checking here very quickly. Says here the trigger broke right at 4 pounds. Not a target gun. Was never meant to be firing from a rest at 25 yards. They say that the Wrangler averaged everywhere from 1/2 inch to 2 inch groups. Now I'm going to tell you what. She was shooting 1/2 inch groups with a 4.5 inch revolver at 25 yards. That gun shoots. And so does she. But it's just iron sights. There's no provisions on it for optics or anything. Of course, a good gunsmith could fix that, no problem. No, it's not drift adjustable rear sights either. It is non-adjustable, nothing, just a groove cut in the rear frame. And the front sight, the most you could do is, if it was shooting low, you could file the front sight down a little bit and bring it up. But that's the only adjustment you're going to have. So, but I'm expecting this is going to go pretty well, and I really expect for them to come out with an adjustable sight model. Of course, it's going to be a little more money, and a longer barrel, and you know, some other features to go with it. And I hope a 22 Magnum version. Here it says, though I would be pleased to see a WMR cylinder, a Winchester Magnum rimfire cylinder, soon to follow, the current rig will work with 22 short, long, shot shells, CB caps, and long rifle. Okay, yeah, we all are very well aware of that. So, there you go. I guess everybody's hoping for the Magnum version of it. If they come out with a Magnum version, I'll definitely have to scrape up some money somewhere and get one of these. Anyway, that's my gun story for the day here. So, moving on, I'm going to go check the chat room here and see what's going on here. All right. Now, anybody who's been in the service is not going to appreciate this, and the Marines sure as hell ain't going to like it. But apparently some lawmakers are trying to force the Marine Corps to make boot camp co-ed sometime in the next 5 years. I am pretty confident that there's going to be a whole lot of pissed off Marines here. I don't see that going over well at all. And I don't see the point in it. I don't see the usefulness of it. They have to change the whole physical training program and everything. I really don't get the idea of this at all. Apparently, somebody thinks it's a great idea, so let's see what happens. We've got, you know, President Trump has made a couple of boo-boos that a lot of us are pretty upset with. You know, the bump stocks and the remarks he made about suppressors and whatnot. That's unacceptable and it's unforgivable unless he was to come on, you know, publicly making a statement saying, you know, I didn't know what I was talking about. I apologize. Somebody has enlightened me as to the usefulness of these items and all that. And I am hereby repealing this ruling here on the bump stock there. But be that as it may, I'd like to hold out and say that this is some kind of a chess move, and if that was as far as it went, I could live with it. But like everything the federal government does, that's never as far as it goes. There's always one more. But with all that being said, there is so much good that he has done. Now, is this all his plan or their plan to rock us all to sleep with all the wonderful things he's doing and then lower the boom on us after he gains everyone's full confidence and go, you know, full-blown anti-gun? That's always a possibility. I doubt it. I seriously doubt it, and I seriously hope that's not the case. But it is a possibility. But be that as it may, we'll just have to wait and see what happens there. I'm going to say that there are so many other things that he's done. So very many other things that he's done that does not wipe away those other things that he's said and done. but that doesn't keep these other things from being good. You know, just because a kid goes out and throws a rock through the garage window doesn't mean that because when he mowed the lawn and washed the dishes and made his bed and fed the dogs and washed the car and everything else, that all that stuff wasn't good. It just means he did a bad thing after all the good stuff was done. So we're really hoping that President Trump will see the error of his ways in these two things. And like I said, it may be a chess move, and we'll see if that is something that will ultimately work out in our favor, or if we are forevermore going to have to hold that over his head. So we'll see. But what brings me to all that big long line of crap right there I just said is that as of yesterday, the Trump administration is going to expand the sporting access, hunting and fishing, on 1.4 million federal acres. Now, you know, even a lot of the people that claim to be conservative are saying that they are against Trump. And I don't get that. I swear, we've been through that before. I don't get it. Here is another thing. Okay, even though he's doing this, and on Facebook I said, you know, you can't swallow an elephant whole. He's getting one little bit at a time here, and it's going along real well. And this is USMCA. What is USMCA? Not sure what that is. Enlighten me, Tebow. Is that the story I was just talking about the Marine Corps? Well, no, it's not sure where the A come from, but anyway. This is a good thing. It's still going to be federal land. They still are not supposed to own it. Actually, they don't own it, but they think they do. But to open this up, they're going to be knocking out something like 7,500 different regulations and really opening this up to people to actually use hunting and fishing on it. So that's, to me, that's pretty impressive. That's a pretty good deal. They say on here that the hunting and fishing are more than just traditional pastimes. They're so vital to the conservation of our land and waters. And I'm glad to see that the whoever he's got in here doing this actually recognizes that. That's pretty awesome. It says the proposal is currently open for public comment and would impact 74 national wildlife refuges and 15 national fish hatcheries. That is amazing. This guy said you've got to be a lawyer to figure out if you can hunt, whether you can hunt or not on some of these lands. And that's true. You can read the regulations. And what the hell did that just say? What did I just read? No idea what that means. Speaking of that also, I know a person in Washington that got a gun stolen from her yesterday. And someone broke into the car, trashed the car, stole, you know, everything that was stealable, including her gun. Now, in the state of Washington, under these new laws, if that car had not been locked up, and or if it was not reported within 5 days to the police, that makes the original owner or that owner liable for anything that the thief does with it. However, it says that if a prohibited possessor entered by forceful means, you know, broke in some manner, and it is reported within 5 days, or no later than 5 days, you will not be held liable for it. So she was all freaking out, you know, weren't worrying about that. And then I read the regulation and said, you're good. It's nothing to worry about. She filed a report immediately, and it's not going to be a big deal, except she's missing her gun now. So, anyway. All right. Well, we're about halfway through the thing here, so I'm guessing we ought to take a little break.
I'll be back.
Ideals I think are right, and I can stand beside that deal to stand and fight. I do believe there's a dream for everyone. This is our country. There's room enough here for science to live, and there's room enough here for religion to forgive and try to understand all the people of this land. This is our country. From the East Coast to the West Coast, down the Dixie Highway, back home. This is our country. Seen only as obscene, and the ones who run this land help the poor and common man. This is our country. From the East Coast to the West Coast, down the Dixie Highway, back home. This is our country. Like me and you, so let the voice of freedom sing out through this land. This is our country. From the East Coast to the West Coast, down the Dixie Highway, back home. This is our country.
If you
you're a country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on the Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kind of just hanging around. But I heard someone call my name one day, and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Jeep guitar.
Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio. Liberty Lounge. Every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern. Right here on Survival Circle. Welcome back to another segment of The Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
And we're back. Okay, let me see if I got any more gun stuff here to take care of. This is gun stuff. It's political, it's legal, it's jackbooted thug, but it's gun stuff. There's a state senator in Illinois that has, during a town hall meeting, these people, I don't even know what to say. In the middle of a town hall meeting, she told him that he was concerned about what they were talking about with different gun legislation and stuff. And she said in front of everybody that she might just forego fining him and simply confiscate all his firearms. And this was caught on video by the Illinois State Rifle Association and was tied to some proposed fines, I guess, for keeping commonly owned, commonly known semi-automatic firearms in someone's home. So this gun owner pointed out that the legislation is SB 107, said that the purpose of it was to take away his semi-automatic firearms. That's when the senator jumped in there and said the purpose was not to take them away, but to prevent any future sales. Of course, the gun owner responded by pointing out that the ban on future sales included a fine for current gun owners who didn't turn their guns in. He said, you want me to turn them over to the state police unless I pay a fine for each firearm, register them, then I get to keep them. But she said, okay. The gun owner said, if I get to keep it, I have to pay a fine and register it, then how dangerous is it in the first place? Why do you need to ban it at all? And everybody started clapping and everything. Once the applause died down, she said, well, you just maybe changed my mind. Maybe we won't have a fine at all. Maybe it'll just be a confiscation. We won't have to worry about paying a fine. These people are completely, they're pushing us hard. Not that I think it's going to do any good, but they're pushing us hard. Everybody keeps saying there's all this crap on Facebook over and over and over. About how there's going to be a civil war and the Patriots are going to do this, that, and the other. And I said, no, they're not. No, they're not. They're not going to do a thing. You know, if it got to a point where they's literally knocking on doors and coming to take the guns physically away from you? Yeah, they might. Some of them surely would. But as far as they're just passing legislation and doing all this stuff over and over and over and making it worse and worse and worse, nothing's ever going to happen. They're just going to legislate our guns and ammo, guns and or ammo, out of existence. Make it where, you know, you can say, you know, they'll get my guns when they pry them out of my cold, dead hand. Well, what's going to happen, dear stud, Mr. Tough Guy, is you're going to sneak your guns out to the woods somewhere and go shooting and then think you've done a wonderful thing. One of two things is going to happen, maybe both of them. Someone's going to hear you and turn you in. Or a game warden or somebody out there is going to hear you and come to where you're at. The other thing is, at some point, sooner or later, you're going to come to a DWI stop or some kind of a license check, or, you know, they're looking for a bad guy, a prison escapee, or whatever the case may be. And they're going to have these dogs trained to alert on your guns, or the smell of gunpowder, the smell of Hoppy's number 9, or whatever. And they're going to claim that the dog alerted on drugs, and they're going to find your gun that was in the trunk underneath the, you know, a blanket or something, and they're still going to get it. Because we're not going to do anything. That's how it's all going to work. You can say that they are not going to get them. Well, they might as well. They're going to make it to a point where you can't shoot and can't do anything with them. No, I've got them buried back on the back 40. They're not going to get them. Well, fine. Hooray for your side. How about that? They're not going to get them. You're not going to use them. You'll never see them again. You dig them up and look at them and fondle them and play with them a little bit and then carefully bury them back in because they're not going to get them. Might as well just give them up and quit worrying about it. Make sure you can get rid of those restless nights and sleep easy knowing that they're not looking for you anymore. I expect that's exactly what's going to happen. Okay. Well, we're getting our fair share of migrants brought in here. 4 semi-trailers carrying 782 of them got stopped. And now what's happening here, which is kind of a good thing, and I think we can thank Trump for that too, is it's not kind of a good thing, it's very much a good thing, that the Mexican police are stopping these on the other side of the border and finding them. And that hasn't been done much in the past. 782 in 4 truckloads. That's almost 200 per truck. Wow. That's a lot of folks. You know, Monday night we talked about how the government has, about all the overreach and the, you know, various, I jumped all over the place Monday night as went from one extreme to the other. But the whole thing boiled down to the jackbooted thugs. It boiled down to the fact that the government is too big for their britches. That we've, we talked about BLM law enforcement. We talked about Tucson not destroying guns contrary to state law. We talked about the another one of Clinton, another aide to Clinton and Obama is found dead at 58 years old. He was suicided. Talked about a sheriff that ordered cops to kill an unarmed man. He said, boy, I love this stuff. It's not exactly what he said, but it was close. And so along those lines, USA Today is now coming out with a report, with a sort of a study here, said at least 85,000 law enforcement officers across the United States have been investigated or disciplined for misconduct over the past 10 years. Now, that may sound like a lot, but it's not a lot because that's only 700 departments that they do out of how many departments is there? 17,000 or something. Says there was 200,000 incidents of alleged misconduct, 110,000 internal affairs investigation of more than 30,000 officers who were decertified by 44 different state oversight agencies. Amongst all these things, now remember, I forgot what the number, let me see if I can find that real quick here. The names include at least 5,000 police officers whose credibility as witnesses have been called into question. These officers have been placed on Brady lists, created to track officers whose actions must be disclosed to defendants if their testimony is relied upon to prosecute someone. There's a list, there's a written list you can look at, 30,000 police officers banned in 44 states. I can't find the number here. Here's a little chart down here, a little graph. In 44 states, USA Today obtained records of more than 30,000 law enforcement officers who lost their certification. In about one-third of the cases, states would not provide specific reasons, but here's the breakdown of the reasons in the documented cases. Drugs and alcohol, 4,500. Assaults and violence, 3,200. Other, 3,000. Dishonesty, 3,000. Theft, 3,000. Now, I'm just rounding the numbers up, so it's not exactly what it is. Misconduct with prisoners, 2,200. Sexual misconduct, 1,950. Official misconduct, 409. It was important, or at least it was important to me, to know, here it is. They obtained records from more than 700 law enforcement agencies, but the records are not complete for all of those agencies, and there are more than 18,000 police forces across the USA. So they got 85,000 cops that are being investigated or have been disciplined for misconduct in some fashion or another. Out of 700 law enforcement agencies, there's more than 18,000 police forces across the USA. The records requests were focused largely on the biggest 100 police agencies, as well as some of the smaller agencies around in the surrounding area, just to check out the movement of officers in these regions. So let's go back up here to right here. Stop right there. Stop. There you go. Stop. Okay. Quit moving. Here's what all this amounted to. Most misconduct involves routine infractions, but the records reveal tens of thousands of cases of serious misconduct and abuse. They include 22,924 investigations of officers using excessive force, 3,145 allegations of rape, child molestation, or other sexual misconduct, and 2,307 cases of domestic violence by officers. Dishonesty is a frequent problem, with the records document at least 2,227 instances of perjury, tampering with evidence or witnesses, or falsifying records. There were 418 reports of officers obstructing investigations, most often when they or someone they knew were targets. Less than 10% of officers in most police forces get investigated for misconduct, yet some officers are consistently under investigation. Nearly 2,500 have been investigated on 10 or more charges. 20 faced 100 or more allegations, yet kept their badge for years. So that's now, it's bad enough these are the people that we are supposed to trust and count on. And I've said, you know, 100 times on the show that when I was a kid, you know, when you get lost or something happened, find somebody wearing a uniform and you could be certain that person was a stand-up guy or gal. And that was someone that would make sure that you get home safely, probably stop and get you an ice cream or whatever the case may be. But now I would tell my kids to run for their very life if a cop were to stop them. Because now they're looking for reasons. Instead of just accepting the fact that the kid is lost, they want to know why the kid is out there and claiming to be lost, and what are they up to. And the worst part of this is bad enough that these cops are doing this, but the worst part of it is the, what do you call it? It's where none of their brothers in arms there, or whatever you call them. That's not the word I'm looking for. Anyway, nobody else is reporting them. See, this wouldn't be nearly so bad. Nearly so bad. I mean, not even close to being as bad. If some of these guys thought that their fellow officers would report them, turn them in, maybe even arrest them when they found out they were doing this stuff. No, everybody stays quiet. That's the bad thing about it. Even if these other guys are not doing anything, they're not doing anything. They're not saying anything. And this stuff goes on for a year. I remember when I left Atlanta. I think I've told this story maybe once before, years ago, but when I left Atlanta, there was, right about the time that I left, there was a big drug ring that was broken just literally as I was leaving. No, I didn't have anything to do with it. But it was 100% Atlanta City cops. They had their own little gang going within the department, within the city, and they were doing well. They were running their business as police officers. Now, I don't remember how many was involved, but it was several. And that is totally unacceptable. Absolutely unacceptable. So, there you have it, for whatever that's worth to you. And then we have a sheriff here from, I think he's from Washington. Washington has some pretty good sheriffs. The rest of their cops ain't worth a damn, but the sheriff's pretty good. There is a, this is the Spokane County Sheriff. He says that Governor Inslee should, that's the governor of Washington State, should step down and be held in contempt or arrested for approving the sanctuary city law. This was, it said in a Fox News interview, Sheriff, oh wow, this was Ozzie that said this. Unbelievable. See, Ozzie goes, Ozzie Knozovich. Nobody up there likes him. But I'll have to say, he has said some, I don't know if he's done anything, but he's said some good things. So he was on Fox News with Harris Faulkner, and she said, so you're saying Inslee is committing a crime, basically? And he said, yep. I am. He took the same oath I did to uphold the Constitution of the United States and the laws thereof. If you don't want to enforce your own laws, then you step down or be held in contempt of Congress or be arrested for obstruction. But do not impede and badmouth your ICE agents for doing their job. So, anyway, what a mess up there in Washington. Jeez. Anyhow, well, I think it's about time that he's on towards the door here. Hang on a minute. There you go, that's better. So, once again, I think it's about time he's on towards the door. And we will see you guys, don't know what's happening Friday yet or not, but like I said, next week I may very well have some earth-shattering news for you that you're probably not going to like very much. But I'm going to think about it here for a few more days, and then I'll decide. So, if I can get this thing pulled over here. There it is. All right, I'm going to scoot on out of here. We'll see you guys in either Friday or Monday, one or the other.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.